a matter of prayer for you tonight as we begin. I received a phone call this afternoon from Pastor Shute, Herman Baptist Church in Maine. Vladimir and Anna Bortsov flew into Maine for a week-long missions conference, and they had a car waiting for them there. A gentleman there was going to let them use his vehicle to come over here for 2 weeks to make his to make their visits. And they found out today that the federal government of Canada will not allow them to bring that vehicle into the country because they are Canadians and they're driving an American licensed vehicle. So they have no way to get here. So just pray about that, would you? And it may wind up that they will have to get a rental car, which will be a considerable cost to them in order to make their trip. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, and this is a story that I'm sure that many of you are familiar with. A gentleman whom you are familiar with by the name of Joseph. Chapter 39, the book of Genesis. We have 23 verses that we're going to be covering tonight. And hopefully we'll be able to get all of this in so you don't have to stay here beyond 9, 10 o'clock. Beginning in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for this opportunity to once again open the precious Word of God together and to spend this time in worship, in praise, and in the Word of God. We thank you for the story of Joseph, and Lord, the account that you've given us here in Genesis of this man. We pray tonight, Lord, as we examine his life through the Scriptures, that you will open to us a blessing, and Father, that we might receive words of encouragement tonight, and Lord, that we might be able to see a little of our lives and the lives of Joseph. And Father, that we might, like Joseph, learn to lean completely upon you in times of toil and trouble. God, we give you praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Ken said tonight that he was going through a time of trial, and that if we're going to look at a man who knows trial, we're in the right book tonight. And we're looking at the right man. Joseph was a young man who had so much going in his favor, and yet so many things that were negative happened to him. And if we wanted to go, and I know we all have heard people say, well, you know, this young person or that young person, they didn't stand a chance because look at their family life. But let's take a look at Joseph's family life for just a moment. Joseph grew up in a home where his brothers were all the sons of slaves and different women, other than his mother. None of them liked him. Though he was in a house that was filled with young men, he was a lonely young man. And he listened to his father's first wife mourn constantly because she sought the love of Jacob and she didn't receive it. His love was reserved for Joseph's mother. And Rachel was a beautiful woman. And Joseph had inherited some of those good looks of hers. And he was a fine young man. As he grew up, he was a strapping young man. And there was no doubt that he became the favorite of his father, Jacob. And by the way, Jacob was not exactly of sterling character himself. Jacob's name meant deceiver. And Jacob had manipulated many things. He never could quite give everything to the Lord. He always had to try to manipulate things to make it work out to his favor. And so, Joseph's father wasn't exactly a role model. His brothers couldn't stand him. They hated him. And he was surrounded by controversy all of his life. Yet, he grew up to have a sterling character. And when we look at the life that he led, and we look at the problems that he faced, and we look at the faith that he had in spite of all the problems that came his way, it's remarkable. And what an example for us today, because when we see Jacob, when we see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, we see three men whom God appeared to personally. Not so with Joseph. Joseph had been gifted by God. He could understand dreams. He had a very active prayer life, and he was very close to God, but God never appeared to Joseph. And so Joseph, like you and I, operated completely by faith, and he did it under some very severe circumstances. At the tender age of 17, he made his way to see his brothers in the field, and they conspired to have him killed. At the last second, they decided no, they wouldn't do that. Instead, they would sell him into slavery. Why? Because his father had shown favoritism toward this young man. He had received a coat of many colors. And I know that you've all read about and heard about the coat of many colors. But what many of us don't understand about that coat of many colors was that it was a chieftain's coat. Chieftains and the tribes of those days, they would pass down a coat to their son, their favorite son, the one who would inherit the greatest amount of their inheritance. The moment that that coat found its way upon Joseph's shoulders, every one of the other boys was extremely jealous, especially the oldest, who now saw that he was not going to inherit everything that he should. And so they conspired against Joseph. And when he made his way down to the field to meet them down there with the herds, they came up with the idea that they would sell him into slavery. And so when a group of Ishmaelites made their way down through the land, Joseph was sold. And he made his way, of all places, to Egypt. Now I want you to think about this, because if you were Joseph, and you were a young man, 17 years of age, and you had received several dreams, which not only you had received the dreams, but you'd received the interpretation of those dreams, and you knew in your heart that one day your brothers and your family would bow down before you, and all of a sudden you're snatched out of the land. You're taken as a slave. You had received the coat of many colors. You would expect that you were going to be inheriting your father's, all of his flocks, and Jacob was a very wealthy man here. But that's all been ripped away from him. And now he finds himself in the land of Egypt. Verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. If Joseph was like most of us, as he was taken in shackles and led out of that pit that his brothers had put him in, and he finds himself down in Egypt, he's probably hoping that whoever buys him will be someone who's out in the countryside where he will have an opportunity to escape someday. He's probably thinking, if I can just wind up on the outskirts of these villages, out in the hills country somewhere, and they just turn their back for a second, I'm going to get out of here and I'll make my way home. Everything came crashing down when Potiphar bought him. Because Potiphar was the captain of the guard. In other words, he was a military officer, very high under Pharaoh, which means that he was going to be in the major city, and his avenue of escape just went out the door. In his eyes, in Joseph's eyes, things couldn't possibly get any worse. In God's eyes, things couldn't possibly get any better. And that's something that I want to draw your attention to tonight, because many times when we're going through the low points in our lives, we think, things just can't get any worse than this. I don't understand what's happening. What is God doing? God knows what He's doing. And we have to let God be God. And it's not easy sometimes, because we're not able to see the big picture. We're not able to see above our own pain and above our own grief and above our own problems, but God can. God knows exactly what's happening in our lives, and God knows exactly what He's going to do to alleviate the situation and to glorify Himself through us. Joseph has now found himself sold to a military man. Now, Joseph had a choice to make. He could say, well, you know, God has abandoned me, obviously, and here I am in this horrible place. I'll never get out of here. I don't know what's going to become of me, so I'm just going to give up. Or, and it's obvious that this is what Joseph did, he could look at the situation and say, look, my God has never lied to me. My God said that my brothers would bow down to me. I don't see a way out of this, but I know that God has a way out of this, and I'm going to be as faithful as I can while I'm here. And so, once he was sold into the palace or into the home of Potiphar, he set out to be the very best servant that Potiphar had. Now, that sounds very foreign to us. Most of us would say, I'm going to be the poorest servant he ever had, so he'll get rid of me, sell me to somebody else. But no, Joseph said, I'm going to be the best servant that Potiphar ever had. I'm going to put everything I have into this man, because God has put me here. And so we find that he begins to prosper. Verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And then Potiphar noticed something. He noticed that it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. God's plan for Joseph was working out beautifully. It certainly wasn't the plan that Joseph had for his life, but it was exactly what God wanted for Joseph's life. And Joseph was in a home where he was going to be taken care of. As a matter of fact, Potiphar was a very wealthy man, but he was so enamored with this young man and his integrity that he made him overseer of his house. Something almost unheard of, that you would let a slave be in control of all of the things in your house. All of his money, all of his land, all of his real estate was now in Joseph's hands. He must have had a great deal of confidence in this young man, and everything that Joseph touched turned to gold. He had what we refer to as the Midas touch. Everything that he did around that house turned into a blessing for Potiphar. And he noticed that after he had made him overseer over his wealth and over his house, the blessings just continued to roll. Now, Potiphar, probably as he spoke to some of his friends, said, you know, this guy, this Hebrew kid that I bought for little of nothing, 20 pieces of silver is the best deal I ever made in my life. And the thing that's remarkable about him is that he worships a God I don't even know. I've never heard tell of it. Some deity named Jehovah. He talks about him all the time. But I'll tell you something. If everybody that worshiped Jehovah is like this young man, I wouldn't mind having everybody in my house worship Jehovah. What a great opportunity we have as Christians. Many times we don't even see the opportunity. We don't even understand the opportunity that we have to impact other lives and show them who we serve and the integrity of our calling. In verse 6 it says, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. He was so confident and he had so much love for this young man that he didn't even bother to have an accountant come in and check his wealth. It wasn't like he had anybody come in once a year to go over the books to make sure that this servant was doing his job. He had so much confidence in Joseph. He didn't even check on what he had. He left everything in Joseph's hands. God had given him a complete confidence and peace of mind about this young man. In the meantime, he was blessing Joseph because Joseph had decided that he was going to make the best of the situation that God had placed him in. But as happens more often than not, where God blesses, Satan comes in to curse. Satan had noticed Joseph. And so it came to pass after these things, in verse 7, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. You have to understand the Egyptian mind and the Egyptian ethics. The Egyptian people were very sensuous and carnal people. There's no question that this man, Potiphar, would take Joseph's life if he even suspected for a second that he had been, or that he had had a sexual relationship with his wife. But there are many people who would have jumped at the opportunity. She was a beautiful woman. And it was not beyond the grasp or the understanding of the Egyptian people. It happened all the time. And so the morality of Egypt was suspect. It was depraved. And this woman, day in and day out, set her eyes upon Joseph. And Joseph was a good-looking young man. By now he was probably about 20 years of age, maybe 21. He was tall, he was well-built, he was a good-looking young man. And she was struck with his appearance and the fact that her husband trusted him so explicitly. And so she made it a point to try to seduce him. Many young men his age would have been flattered by the attention. But Joseph was horrified. He refused, in verse 8. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand. He trusts me. He trusts me with his wealth, with his family, with you. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Did you notice that? Here he is talking about Potiphar and the faith that Potiphar has in him. But he said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against Potiphar? No, against God. Because inevitably, every sin we commit is against God. We may think that we have sinned against people, groups, and we do. But bottom line, we sin against God. And here was a young man wise beyond his years. For one thing, though he was no doubt enticed by this woman and her beauty, he knew, first of all, that he would be putting his relationship with his God in serious disarray. He would be betraying Potiphar, and if Potiphar, as I said earlier, suspected anything, he would lose his life. He also had been around this woman long enough to see her in action, and he knew that a woman who was married to a man like Potiphar and tired of him so easily would quickly tire of him. And his life wouldn't be worth a cent. He would be a fool to give in. And so he said, no. No, I will not sin against God, nor will I sin against Potiphar. Verse 10 says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. He tried to stay away from her as far as he could. He watched very carefully to make sure that there was someone else in the home when he was in the home. She didn't leave him alone. She sought him day after day after day to wear him down. It came to pass, in verse 11, about this time, that Joseph went unto the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. He may have thought that there was men there, but there were not. And now Satan had him where he wanted him. And she caught him by his garment, and she said, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house. I'm going to stop right there for a second because I want to draw your attention to something. She grabbed a hold of his garment and she pleaded with him. There was no one else in the house. This was the perfect opportunity for her. All he had to do was say yes. She had his garment in her hand and he slipped out of his garment and he ran. This was no time to debate. You know why? Because he was tempted. Amen. Joseph was a man. He was tempted. He had to get out of there as quickly as possible. And if that meant that he left his garment, he left his garment. Stop and think about this. It was a garment that his father had made for him that had caused him to be sold into slavery. Now, it's a garment that was given to him by Potiphar that will cause him to go to prison. He has a hard time with garments, doesn't he? But he left that garment. He ran. He ran. And so, when she saw that he was fled forth, she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. She's lying through her teeth. But here we see the carnality of this woman. If she couldn't have what she wanted, then she'd lie and she'd get him out of the house. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, is an old saying. Potiphar's wife is a living example. She said, if I can't have him, I'll see to it nobody has him. I'll take his life if I have to. He said, this Hebrew that my husband brought into the house mocked me, came in and tried to force his way upon me. And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass in verse 15, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. What does that mean, to mock me? The Hebrew came in to mock me because I'm nothing but an Egyptian in his eyes. She was lying. She looked at him as a slave, as a Hebrew. But he did not look at her as a filthy Egyptian. regardless of what she said. When he looked at her, he saw his master's wife. And so he was trying to remain pure in the eyes of his God, and he cared what his master thought of him. It came to pass in verse 18, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and he fled out. She said, I held on to his garment and he ran when he heard me screaming. Doesn't make much sense, the story. And I'm not sure that Potiphar bought it. He was mad. He was angry. And he had him put in prison, but he could easily have taken his life. He had certainly had the opportunity to do so, but he didn't. And you know what's kind of remarkable is from here on, Potiphar, instead of questioning his wife, he simply has Joseph thrown into prison. From here, Potiphar drops off the scene. We hear nothing more about Potiphar. We hear a great deal about Joseph. Potiphar, I believe, suspected that his wife was lying. But Joseph would have had to have been a fool to have thought that he could force himself upon his master's wife and not have anybody know about it. And Joseph was not a fool. Potiphar knew that. He was a very smart, intelligent young man. Extremely intelligent and gifted and blessed of his God. Joseph was no fool. I don't believe Potiphar was either. But the easiest way out of this was not to take his life, but to throw him in the prison. In verse 19, it says, it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. But it doesn't say who his wrath was kindled against, does it? Yes, it's Joseph that's put in prison. But no doubt he doesn't trust his wife either. Or Joseph would have been killed on the spot. In verse 20, it says, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now stop and think once again. Here we go. Joseph had been sold into slavery. He'd worked very difficult, very diligently, and he'd worked very ethically for his master, and he did everything that his master desired so that he could make a name for himself in his master's house to be the very best servant that Potiphar had. And this is how he's repaid. He's thrown into prison. He's lied about. But isn't that how Satan works? We can be as ethical and we can be as above board and we can be as honest before the people and before our God as we can be. We can live a sterling life. We can do everything in our power to have a testimony that will be honoring to Jesus Christ. And all it takes is one gossip to destroy us behind our back. Because people want to believe the worst. The only thing we can do is remain faithful to God. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Do you think it was easy for him now to go into the prison? How long do you think he was there? No doubt he went into that prison thinking, well, God is going to straighten this all out. I'm going to get out of here any day now. But he was in that prison for 10 years. 10 long years. Before he was released. But we can see the integrity of this young man because he's not in that prison crying, wailing. I'm sure he had moments. We would, and I'm sure he did. But instead, he sets about to do the very best in this prison that he can do for the prison keeper. Everywhere we see Joseph, we see a young man who strives to be the best at what he is facing and the best at what he can do. If it's nothing more than taking care of the other prisoners in the prison, that's what he'll do. Many of us, if we don't receive the accolades that we desire as Christians, we quit. Nobody appreciates us. Nobody appreciates all that we do. Here was a young man who, no matter what he did, it seemed to turn against him. And yet we find him faithful to God. He's down in a prison now. And in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Satan's desire is always to destroy that which God loves. And I'm so thankful tonight that in spite of Satan's hatred for God's people and God's church, that the Lord has shown mercy to his people. And here he shows mercy to Joseph. He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. It took very little time at all before the keeper of the prison noticed that this was an exceptional young man, and that he had great leadership capabilities, and that he desired to be a servant. And so the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. What's the moral of the story, I guess? The moral of the story is that it's better to be in a prison with God than it is to be in a palace with Satan. It's better to walk with God and be faithful, regardless of where that takes us, than it is to be on the best side of Satan at any time, because he's only going to turn on you and carve you up and serve you to somebody else. God is so good. When we look at Joseph's life, we see a young man who had no way of understanding many of the things that happened to him. And yet, he made it a point in his life that no matter what came at him, what circumstances he found himself in, he would not curse God, nor would he abandon what he had been taught. He knew that God loved him, he knew that God was with him, and he was faithful to his God no matter where God took him. If we could just learn the lessons of Joseph, our lives would take on an entirely different flavor. A life of faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we pray for every person in this church tonight. Father, if there's one here tonight that has not asked you for forgiveness, if there's one here tonight that has never thought about eternity, Lord, I pray that you would speak to that heart and that they might seek and search for you right now, that they might pray to receive you as their Savior. But Lord, for those of us that have been in church for many years, that are attempting to walk with you to the best of our ability, Father, let us draw great strength and courage from Joseph's story. We don't need to understand everything that's happening to us, but we do need to have faith that you are our God and that you will protect and watch over us no matter where we are and no matter what circumstances come into our lives. We give you praise. We thank you. We ask that as this week goes on, Lord, that you would lead someone to us, that we might present Jesus Christ to them, that they might find this wonderful Savior that has died for us. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.